B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final hour, Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Maz and I on remote. Murray from our Town Fair Tire studios in Dorchester. Greg Bedard earlier from the Boston Sports Journal. Interesting conversation about, what we're all most concerned about here. Not that it's the most important thing, but we spent a lot of time on getting these leagues back up and running. The NFL, he had written last week. Well, maybe you'll hear it here in my question, but he had written last week that, you know, no off-season camps, no OTAs, at best case. And he said it's just as likely the NFL will only play a half season or even less. So when we had the big boy on earlier, I asked him about that timeline, and here was his answer.
Well, I mean, that's from talking to teams. I mean, that's the fear. I mean, no one's saying, like, that's what they're expecting at this point. But I can tell you that at least one team that I talked to, they are preparing not to be in the facility until late July, early August at the earliest, that they're not even allowed in. Because the fear is that if they come back early, let's just say for argument's sake that they stipulate that August 1st is when all teams are going to open up training camp, and say somebody tests positive on one team, what are they going to do? Send home that team for a week, sanitize the place, and they're going to let the other teams just practice training camp, get an extra week of practice than that team? No. It's going to shut down the entire league. And so that's the fear. That's what everyone in the NFL is talking about, is when can they safely go ahead with things where they know that they're going to be there for the duration and finish the season and go into the playoffs. And there's a real fear around the league that they might not start training camp until, say, September 1st or something like that, when it's really safe that they know what to do. But again, everyone's just operating on, no one knows anything, but there is a fear, there's a legitimate fear around the league that they could not play a full season this year.
Okay, so Maz, as he's talking, and you mentioned this earlier, Maz, send me a link, that getting this coronavirus test, this immediate coronavirus test, might be the key to this whole thing. Might be the key to this whole thing, because Greg's right. If one player tests positive in one camp, they have to shut that camp down, all right, quarantine him and then everybody and douse the facility. So that's a week or 2 weeks. Meanwhile, you can't let everyone else keep practicing and doing their training camp, because that creates an unfair advantage. They have to shut down the whole league, whether you were in their camp or not. So, and again, as we're talking about in China, they're about to release some numbers, and a big thing here is asymptomatic people. How many asymptomatic coronavirus sufferers do we have? Because you can still give someone a temperature check before they hit the practice field, but if they're not showing a temperature but they're still carrying the virus because they're asymptomatic, well, that doesn't do you any good, because he can still spread the virus and get someone sick. So Maz was talking about, tell me about that test again.
Okay, so the name of the company, and I read about it this morning, and look, it's all over the internet, but the name of the company is Abbott Labs, and it's an American-based company, and I think, I was checking it earlier, they can start shipping out the device tomorrow, April 1st. So these devices should be in many clinics. I don't know how many they're going to send out initially. I didn't get that far into the details of it, but this test can come up with a negative. I'm sorry, can get up with a positive diagnosis for coronavirus in as few as 5 minutes and a negative in as few as 13 minutes. Now, that's the way it's worded. So as few as, I don't know, does that mean the average one is 15? I have no idea. But regardless, right, as few as 5 minutes for a positive test, as few as 13 minutes for a negative test. To me, that feels like, okay, there's at least some progress. I just think that The asymptomatic thing to me has always been a critical part of this whole discussion, because if you have people walking around who are carriers of the virus but don't have any symptoms, well, then how the hell do we stop it? There's just no way to stop it. And so now when we had Paul Sachs on from the Brigham last week and we were talking to him about it, he said, and I want to go back and listen to it, but he said – there is an asymptomatic phase. Now, I don't know if that means that you're asymptomatic and then you become symptomatic, or you stay asymptomatic during the whole time and you never even know that you have it. And so I have been operating under the premise that it is the latter, that you never really have significant symptoms, that you don't even notice them, and that you just, you could be passing on the virus to other people. And if teams, Mike, are going to get to the point, whether they want to meet in bubbles and have tournaments in Vegas for the NBA, or they want to have these satellite sites like they do in the World Cup or the Olympics, they're going to need to have to test these guys regularly to see whether they have it. You know, because you might not have it one day, you might another. And until they can perfect that process, I don't know how they're going to be able to pull this off.
And I agree, Maz. I think that's becoming the key to the whole thing. And again, Maz mentions China. China has, you know, tried to get going here. They tried to go pretty much the 1st of April, then they push it back to the 15th of April. And then today the Chinese authority came out and said indefinitely, we're going to put this off till we feel comfortable doing it, because they're not quite there. And they said the key to it is the asymptomatic cases, because what they were going to do is they were going to pick two cities in China that didn't have big outbreaks, sort of quarantine a stadium and a hotel, bring 10 teams to one place, 10 teams to the other, and have them play round robin schedules in that one building. They're all quarantined, they're all contained, and they're going to check their temperatures every day before they head to the court. Well, if you're asymptomatic, that means you're not showing a temperature, but you're still carrying the virus.
Correct.
And then if one guy gets the virus, they have to shut the whole league down. And this is after they've flown people back from the United States, like Jeremy Lin and I guess Stefan Marbury, or guys like this still play in China. So that, you know, they've brought everybody back. They've went through this huge operation of quarantining a building, a hotel, creating this whole infrastructure to play off a round robin tournament in this environment. And one guy gets sick, they have to shut the whole thing down, which can't happen. So how do you protect against that? You got to have that ready-made or that immediate coronavirus test.
Yeah, it's got to be timely. And I stand by what I said earlier too. They have to make this thing a little bit easier on the patient, for lack of a better term, because right now the way they're collecting samples is sticking the thing way deep inside the patient's nasal cavity. So if you can figure that out too, and you know, maybe have like an easier swab, that would make it easier for the players too, who I would think after a few times would be like, I can't deal with this anymore, even if this is my livelihood.
And Mike, look, you know, again, none of us is an expert when we're delving into this particular area, but I'm going back to the interview we did with Paul Sachs of the Brigham last week. And at one point, if you remember, he said that in Italy, where there was a significant outbreak, they did a test case in a smaller town. And I'm going to get some of the particulars a little vague here, but just bear with me. And what he said at one point was they were able to take people who did not have symptoms and sort of quarantine them off in an area and then test them independently. And somewhere in the range of 30 to 40% of those people tested positive for the virus, even though they didn't have symptoms. Now, he thought that that number was probably higher than it would be in your typical setting or in an average society, for lack of a better word, because those people were in a community where there was an outbreak. And so even though they didn't have symptoms, they still had it. But if the number's that high, think of that. If the number is 35%, that means out of every three people who are asymptomatic, one of them has it. Mm. And if that's the case, there's no way you can get all these athletes in one place without being able to test them regularly.
Okay, so that's the NFL plan. What's it looking like in the NBA? You'll hear from Chris Mannix when we come back, and then I promise, to your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm definitely still skeptical on all this. And what I've come around to is two things. One, the level of pessimism on being able to play amongst league officials that don't have kind of a horse in this race. And what I mean by that is kind of ownership guys that are just desperate to get any kind of revenue out of this. The pessimism is still pretty high that that the season label will be salvaged. If it is salvaged, however, and I'm writing a little bit about this tomorrow, I have no doubt it's going to be salvaged in Las Vegas. I think that's the only alternative that makes sense to most people that I talk to is finding a way in July to quarantine the playoff teams in Las Vegas and to have some form of a tournament that eventually crowns a champion. There's certainly a lot to be worked out, but as we know, the NBA's got a strong relationship with the city. They've got business relationships there with the hotels. It's workable. It's doable. So if this season gets salvaged, I think the only way it gets salvaged is in Las Vegas.
That's Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated, NBC Sports Boston. I think that has a chance to be a blast. You know, a condensed NBA tournament. Even if it's one spot, even if it's in a convention space, Maz, or a, you know, whatever. A small summer league arena in Las Vegas, and they're all out there, and the whole league is out there. I think it has a chance to be really fun. I really do.
I love the idea, and again, from the second that thing popped up, and you know, one of the venues they talked about in the stories we read last week was the Thomas and Mack Center, which is on the campus of UNLV, if I'm not mistaken, and that's a 20,000 seat stadium. I mean, that's a real place. Now, look, they're not going to be playing before crowds in all probability anyway. So even if they do it in a gym, what's the difference? But you're telling me you wouldn't watch that? I know I would.
Oh, I mean, as Murray has mentioned many times, we'll watch anything. Other than I'm not watching someone play a video game.
You got to be a hardliner on that one. I understand.
No. That's my drop dead. That is my point of no return. I'm going to go sell insurance kind of moment. If we have to sit, if I ever have to talk about race cars, you know, race car driving, NASCAR, or freaking video games, I'm out. I'll talk about anything else. And you know me, I try. Soccer, boxing, I'll try different things. I'll watch different things and talk about different things. No problem. If it's ever someone else playing a video, someone else holding an effing joystick in his hand and dinking around with a video game, and I've got to talk about that, I'm out. It's over.
It's coming. It's coming Friday night.
No, sir.
Yep, the NBA players are going to do it. They're playing Friday night. So I bet you my kids will watch. I might watch it for entertainment's sake.
Oh, forget about it. That and race car driving. Forget about it. That's it. That's when I'm out. All right, so there's your reset. You know, anything you want over the course of the day, got to get to our guy in Boston. Hi, Guy.
First, I got to tell you guys, I'm very, very proud of all of you, especially the guy that was vacuuming behind Murray. And I want to tell you, Felger, you keep ragging on Brady's nutrition. Hulk Hogan made a fortune saying, say your prayers and take your vitamins. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. I'm not ragging on Brady today.
And brother, did he take a lot of vitamins.
I'm sure. No, I think Brady dished out some good advice. I think the 12 things on his list are all of them are right. And I think there's been so many things he and Alex have promoted over the years that are not right, that are just kind of dangerous. This is not one of them. But the timing of it, of repackaging it in the time of the coronavirus, maybe has a bad look. And the $147 for the supplement bundle feels a little pricey, as all of his stuff is.
It just dawned on me, too, because I didn't realize that when you were naming them all off, that there's 12 of them. So I'd like to hit him up with some sodium pentothal, truth serum, and trying to find out which ones he actually truly, you know, believes work. Because were they sitting there like, we got to get to 12. Come on, Alex. Like, vitamin D. Yeah, no, omegas. All right, 10, 11. Okay, what else? Can we come up with one more?
Oh, listen, and don't kid yourself. He bought into that pizza joint in Tennessee, for crying out loud. So from what I understand, he got pizzas shipped to him. So don't kid yourself. Brady has the occasional slice of pepperoni every now and then.
Okay, that is added sugar. Not good in these times. Steven and I'm sorry, hold on one second. There's someone smooth there. Just hold on one second. I hit the wrong button. Here is Steve in Marble, who's been waiting patiently on a Brady point. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, here's my take on it. The whole Brady being great, here's my take. If Drew Bledsoe didn't get blindsided by Mo Lewis, and he could have gone on and, say, gone him to a couple of playoff Super Bowls, Tom Brady would have been a professional backup.
Okay, Steve, right? I'll drop you and continue this conversation. I do believe just to work with you here for a second, because if you're implying Bledsoe's as good as Brady, you're freaking smoking crack. But if Tom Brady was drafted by the wrong team and the wrong coach at the wrong time, there is a chance he'd be a career backup or maybe not even in the league. If he was drafted by some dopey coach like Lloyd Carr at Michigan, who didn't understand what they had, and he never got a chance to play and never got a chance to prove himself, there's a chance he might not have been, because there's a six-round pick. I mean, everyone agreed he was a six-round pick, even the Patriots, even the team that ultimately got him agreed he was no better than the 199th player in the whole draft. So no one believed in him coming out of the draft. And if he went to a coach or a team that didn't believe in him when he got there, and then he went to another team or coach that didn't believe in him on his second crack, yeah, there's a chance he wouldn't even be in the league. That I agree with. If
so, the only problem with his logic is that you can find just about every great player in the history of sports and find that fork in the road where if something different had happened, they wouldn't be the player they are today. Right. Would Joe Montana be the same guy if Bill Walsh hadn't drafted him?
No.
Probably not. I mean, there are. I think you can find a million cases like that. Brady is who he is, and it's not by accident.
Yeah, well, I'd like to think that, oh, no, he'd win a title or two if he was drafted by the Jets, but it's the Jets. And who was there at that time? Al Groh? He would have been a career backup.
Thank you. Okay, but there are some athletes you have to admit. Like Michael Jordan would have won a handful of championships no matter who drafted
him. Right, true.
And John Elway would have been the same player no matter where he was drafted. And there's guys, there's transcendent talents like that. I don't think Brady's that. I think Brady has some transcendent abilities, but he was helped by the marriage of Belichick. And that's not taking anything away from him. He's still the greatest of all time. But I do think that if he was drafted into another world, things might have been different. Bledsoe. If Bledsoe remained the quarterback through 2001 and stayed the quarterback, how many championships would they have won?
None.
Zero. And Belichick would have been fired.
I agree. I think it would have been zero.
And look, Mike, my only point is, and I said most athletes have a fork in the road like that. You know, Jordan was the number two pick in the draft, or maybe even number three, if I remember right, but whatever. And who was the other one you mentioned? Elway, number one pick in the draft. Like, you know, so, but there are lots of guys who just went on to stardom that ended up in the right place at the right time under the right circumstances, and I think there's a moment like that for just about all of them.
No way you win that first Super Bowl with Drew Bledsoe as your quarterback. You say, well, how could that be? Brady only threw for like 150 yards and, you know, wasn't a factor in that game. The last drive? The last drive, Brady three times, just barely got out of a sack, held onto a ball in a strip sack attempt, and checked down to the running back for positive plays. If Bledsoe were back there that last drive, sack,
picked.
Fumble. He's not checking off to the right. He's not completing that drive.
He was an accident waiting to happen. We all know it.
Rick in Woburn is up next on Tom Brady or the TB12 immunity pack. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, I'm curious about the coronavirus cure that he has. Was it 12 different pills?
It's not a cure.
Okay. But I mean, you want liver disease? I mean, basically, if you want 12 different types of pills.
Those are not pills. Those are, I guess they're pills, but they're over-the-counter supplements. Vitamin D.
Right, they're vitamins. They're not Percocets.
Yeah, it's like... vitamin C is like the most standard common vitamin there is. It's over-the-counter. You're not – so, no, that's you're not on some sort of like regimen. It's just vitamins. It's Brady's telling you to eat well, exercise, and take your vitamins. That's all he's telling you to do in this thing. Okay,
it's and nothing say your to get prayers, over. Brother.
It's nothing to get outraged over.
Every time that guy opens his mouth, if I were you, I'd click on drop. That's what I'd pick. Every call begins the same way, and you know it's a bull crap. I was wondering.
If you want to get outraged, Bedard wants the Patriots to skip the draft. We'll get to that after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports. Austin's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back, Felger and Maz. Murray in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Maz and I on location, social distancing. I've turned around back to the right side of my desk with the windows behind me. Is that any better?
Yeah, you don't look like you're in, you know, when they, what do they do? They call that witness protection. Earlier, it was too sunny.
The sun has shifted, so I thought it would look a little better. I just don't want to be another guy with a bookshelf behind him. Like I said, I don't know. I just want to have a different backdrop. So maybe you see the trees behind me? Like, I don't know. Can we figure that out? Can I figure that out? Some sort of, I don't know why I care so much, but what the
look
hell?
At me and all the sunlight I get.
Look at my windows.
Yeah, the rest of us were in prison. Yeah.
Exactly. You people in your little hovel with your bookshelf. Look at me, my grand windows with my grand view. That's what I'm trying to portray. All right, you want to get outraged? The big boy, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, wants the Patriots to skip the draft this year. I'm sort of only half kidding. He did write the other day that are they going to punt on the draft for many reasons, and I think Greg got into some of them when he joined us earlier. Let's hear that sound.
There's a chance they could, quote-unquote, punt on this year's draft. Can you just explain that in a little bit more depth? Are we talking about kicking away the whole draft or half the picks?
I'm talking about... There are obviously a few spots when you look at the roster where they are right now where they're going to need help, you know, like tight end, you know, linebacker. Probably they're going to need a backup center. They're going to need some they're going to at least need to make some targeted picks. But beyond that, how much should they really do this year? And the reason I say that is they are trying to win this season. Yes, they're not tanking.
Yes, correct. Yes, they're trying to win, Greg.
Okay, number two. In normal years, the Patriots don't rely on rookies. They just don't. I mean, I went through the first round, second round, and really the only guys who have started from week one, and this is going back to even Devin McCourty's draft, the 2010 draft, it's really Nate Solder and Tooney as a third rounder. They got lucky, but they had other options. So the Patriots don't really rely on rookies in any event. And number three is, the entire offseason is going to be wiped out. You can't have the draft and then have rookie minicamp the next week. These guys can't even get in the building until probably August at the earliest. So you're talking about, and then it's likely that training camp is cut short in some regard. It might only be like 3 weeks and then they go into the season. So you combine those three factors, and I think you're looking at the Patriots going with a veteran-laden offense.
Okay, so your thought on that, Maz, veteran-laden offense, and they won't have the proper offseason. And never mind, he didn't get into there the fact they have cap issues, and he thinks that 49 of the 53 roster spots are already a virtual lock, that they may not have the roster space for a bunch of rookies. Your thoughts on all of that?
So I don't love the approach if that's what they're seriously contemplating. Now, look, they have 12 picks in the draft. And I think there are a chunk of them that come in the sixth and seventh rounds. So, I would just hate to see the Patriots, who have drafted poorly in recent years, and then, you know, obviously spent the time to, I say, quote-unquote, develop N'Keal Harry, Jakobi Meyers, who was an undrafted free agent, but nonetheless, those players in the operation last year, and then now we have to take another year off. And then now, you know, they're going to put the Patriots back behind another year is ultimately what I'm getting at. And if it took N'Keal Harry basically a full season to figure it out, and then he's going to come back this year ready. And again, Bedard said that Patriots don't rely on rookies anyway. Well, so you're going to go a year without picking him, and then what? You're not going to have any young players till 2022? Like, I just... It blows me away. I can't imagine they would go that way, given the shortage of young talent they've been able to get through the draft in the last 5 years, Colin.
I agree. They need to start getting younger now and starting the clock now. And you mentioned, you raised the best point. If they don't like using guys as rookies, well, then you wait till next year. You make those draft picks. They're not going to help you in 2021. Now they aren't going to help you until 2022. No. I'm not doing that slow of a rebuild. To me, I punt on this year's draft on certain players if they're not good. In other words, you need a tight end, but when you come up, there's no good ones on the board. And they're really good at this. You know, they're great at this. They're not going to take a tight end just to take a tight end. They might get it wrong, but they very rarely reach for a position of need. In fact, they'll sort of err on the other side. But, if they need a tight end and there's no good ones there, don't take one. You know, so then I would punt on that, of course. But if there's a good player there that you need, you take him. Even if this is going to be a redshirt year, even if there's no camps, even if, you know, it's not ideal, you still got to do it. You start, I mean, start the clock on these young guys now.
Well, right, especially if that first year is a quote-unquote throwaway year anyway, which is what Bedard is saying. Then I'll take whatever I can get in year one. I'll get him integrated into the system and into the operation. If that's in August, so be it. If that's in September, so be it. Whenever it is, I want to start that clock now.
Okay, we got about 5-6 minutes for your calls. If you want to get in, now's the time to do it at 617-779-0985. Chris is in Worcester on the TB12 stuff. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
I wanted to, sorry about that. I was just driving down this store to get toilet paper. But, hey, real quick, on the Tom Brady thing, I think it was a little snake oily. I just think it was a little snake oily. But I was just listening when I was listening to it because I only heard it on the radio. All I could hear was the birds and the bees in the background while he was. It was just funny to me because it felt like he was down in, like, Augusta. You know, like,
so,
you know.
Yeah, he's. I don't know where he's at. Where he's doing those Instagram videos, but it's a lovely spot, lovely little yard.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's not little. I'm sure it's, you know, I'm sure vast. He's in the middle of lovely grounds wherever he is. Curious where he is. You think that's Costa Rica?
Could be. I was thinking that. It better not be Tampa.
I'll tell you, it's great. That's the thing about these bug out places. You know, you bug out to Costa Rica, which is great, until you get sick. Then what do you do in Costa Rica? It's like there's the give and take of those kind of places. But, yeah, no, he's doing it in a lovely setting, and he looks perfect. His face, he is getting younger by the day. You know, whatever he's done and is doing, whatever, it's collagen, Botox, whatever he's doing to his face, I tell you, the wood's jealous. It's like, man, where do I get some of that? See, he is looking great. Sully in Boston on the draft thing. Go ahead, Sully.
Hey, gentlemen. I thought Bedard was a football writer, and this is the worst draft for tight ends in years. I just turned 34. This is the best draft for wide receivers since I've been alive. So I don't understand what he was talking about, but I called in the other day. I still think they're going to, if Jordan Love drops to 23, they have to take him, and I'll let you guys talk about that.
Okay. If Jordan Love drops to 23, do they have to take him?
No.
Why do you say so?
Well, for one, I think it reeks of that they actually don't have a plan at quarterback, because right now I'm under the assumption that they feel good about Jared Stidham. They brought Hoyer in to be his backup. If you go and take Jordan Love or any quarterback, maybe it's the kid out of Georgia, at 23, who are all projects, anyone outside of Tua and Herbert out of Oregon, you know, they're all talked about as projects. Like, you're telling me you don't really know what the hell you're doing at quarterback next year. And there's going to be a bigger competition than I think we're all assuming at this point. And you expected Brady to come back, didn't work out. Now you're just throwing stuff at the wall and hoping something sticks.
I think I'm with Murray. I think it'd be a bad sign if they took a quarterback in the first round. I think it'd tell you that they don't really believe in Stidham. And then under Bedard's scenario, this year's a throwaway. It takes 2 years for quarterbacks in the Patriot system to get their feet under him anyway. If you use Garoppolo as a model, when are we going to see the guy play? 2023? Like, I just... Look, if they believe in a guy that they think is can't miss, and Love slips all the way down to him, which I doubt, by the way. I've seen draft projections now that have him as high as 10 in the top 10 of the draft.
You said
and
Love.
So, I'm sorry?
You said Love or Herbert?
No, Love. Yeah. Love. And so I just think that, A, they're not going to get a crack at him, and B, unless they are in love with him, if they take him, it's a bad sign on. It's a bad commentary on Jarrett Stidham.
Troy in Illinois jumping on a Patriots item. Go ahead, Troy.
Yeah, hi.
Hi,
Felder Mass. I got a quick question. Would Clay Matthews be a good fit at linebacker for the Patriots, and could we get him at a reasonable price?
So the second part, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still there, and he's at the end.
The price is what I'm excited about. Otherwise, yeah, I think he's been one of the most overrated players in the NFL for like the last 6 years.
Okay, why are you laughing, Maz?
I'm chuckling because he asked the questions in reverse order. Can you get him cheap, and then is it a fit for the Patriots? And the answer to both is yes. So, because we all know that anybody cheap is a fit for the Patriots. That's why I'm chuckling. So I happen to think that, now look, he was obviously spent the majority of his career in Green Bay. I think the guy's cashed, but you tell me.
So, can he come in and be, remember Andre Carter?
Yeah,
sure.
Do I have the name right? So he was, in the league forever. He came in. He was used very specifically sort of on the edge as a pass rusher, and he gave you pretty good production. And, you know, he wasn't asked to do everything, and he wasn't out there every snap, and he was just sort of a real situational guy. So can Clay Matthews be that guy? Yes. I would not play him on first and second down. If you're using him a lot of the time, something went really wrong with someone else. But if you're telling me I can get him for $1 million, $2 million, and have him just on those pure passing downs and, you know, even preserve him some so he's fresh when he comes out, he can still get after the quarterback a little bit.
And Bill loved the father, right?
I'm sure. Was he at Cleveland Brown?
He was.
Some sort of combination, you know. So, yeah,
and,
sure.
And the ladies will love the hair.
The thing is, they kind of have him. And I don't mean to make it just a white guy thing with long hair, but they have Chase Winovich. Yeah, he's mini Clay Matthews, isn't he?
Yeah, in a lot of ways he is.
I mean, he is. He's just sort of an effort guy, run-around guy, hair flowing all over the place guy. Good burst, can get after the quarterback. But if you run at Chase Winovich, aren't you going to be able to run at Chase Winovich?
Yep.
So yep. I think it's like they have that guy already.
He looks like a guy who should be on a romance novel. Makes me feel weird.
Greg's in the car. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Love the show. I just wanted to kind of piggyback on the last caller or the second to last caller when he was talking about taking Love. I don't think they're going to take any quarterbacks because, you know, that shows that they don't believe in Stidham and that it's going to kind of reaffirm that maybe they should have kept Brady, and they're not going to, you know, try and save face with that.
Okay, so I'm with you that I want it to be Stidham, and that's the best-case scenario. And so, like, I'm playing devil's advocate here a little bit, just to see if there is another side to it. Is it possible, Murray, that the reason they didn't re-sign Brady and the reason that they've gone cheap at quarterback is because the guy they really like is in the draft, and they think he's going to be there for him?
Maybe. I just – and look, I mean, how many times have we all collectively and even scouts been wrong about, you know, any of the players, but specifically quarterbacks? I just don't really love anyone outside of those first couple of guys and project them to be decent, even decent starters at best in the NFL. That said, there is a guy that I think I wouldn't mind them drafting around 3 or 4, and all the, you know, all the mocks have him around that spot, and that's Jalen Hurts. He would bring something different to that offense. You know, he's certainly not your traditional pocket passer. They opened things up when he went and ended up going to Oklahoma. That's a guy that fits, you know, this more modern NFL and could project to be, you know, not Lamar Jackson, but an offshoot type of thing. So it could give them something different. If it doesn't work out with Stidham, you at least have a project in Jalen Hurts. I wouldn't mind if they took a shot on him later in the draft.
So, Mike, the only thing that makes me wonder about that scenario, too, is that if that's true, they let Brady go, they want to go cheaper quarterback because they like a kid in the draft. Why do they have Kessler and Hoyer? Shouldn't they have only one of those guys?
Probably so. Kessler costs them nothing. I bet they could release him tomorrow for nothing.
But Bedard's telling me I got no roster spots, for crying out loud. and so now I'm keeping Brian Hoyer and Cody Kessler a quarterback. Like, you know, I if one of them gets released, maybe that's where we're headed. But that I have a hard time believing they think they're going to get the guy they want at 23.
Thus concludes the call-in portion of the program. Next, the final word.
Dugger Fast. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free service.
Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
No one.
Nobody.
Nobody.
All right, one piece of sound to get to here in the final word today. We're all starved for sports, any semblance of sports, and with the real basketball being out of the picture for the foreseeable future, the NBA tapping into NBA 2K to provide us some much-needed content. They're going to be hosting a players-only tournament, NBA 2K tournament, going to have 16 actual NBA players playing against each other in a tournament format. Starts Friday night. Sounds kind of decent, right? Not to Felger.
Did you see, just to speak to the thirst that people have for sports, that NBA players are going to compete in the video game, and they're going to televise that this week?
Yeah, on Friday night, yeah, the NBA 2K20, and I don't know, I'll watch it. Sure.
God, no, please. I can't.
If there's going to be trash talk, I don't know, I might be in. Those guys take that thing seriously. I know you hate that kind of thing, Mike, but, you know, I'm so desperate for any of that kind of content and anything that is, you know, just a hair competitive that I'll tune in.
I'm not that desperate. Oh, believe me, I'm desperate. I am not that desperate. I am not. If you ever out there catch me watching a video game, never mind playing it, but okay, maybe my kid drags me into something or something, right? Like all of you, I used to smoke pot and play a little bit of video game, but that was a million years ago. So like, but playing it's one thing. If you ever catch me watching a video game for sport, you have the right to take me out back and smack me across the face with whatever device you can find.
You might get there. This looks like we got a long road ahead of us.
I will never be that desperate. Nope, I will go sell insurance. I will do something else if I ever have to watch effing video games. No,
I bet you it does good ratings.
Well, that's fine. But that speaks to the state of our world. And when I mean the state of the world, now we're live, I don't mean the coronavirus. I mean knucklehead kids watching video games. That's like the pre-state of our world. That was the state of our world. Yeah, that was the state of our world before we reached the state of our world today. I should have clarified on that. Yeah, that's the real sign of the apocalypse. The apocalypse has been going on for a while. You knuckleheads watching each other play video games. You've got to be kidding me.
Well, the sports, seriously. It's different with the sports games. It still feels ish like sports.
Oh, fat.
It does.
And I know like we're heavily invested in esports and all of this. I just can't. I'm sorry. I will never. You cannot get me on board of that. I've got to sit around and watch you play a video game. No, that's great. I got to say, that's my night, watching you fuddle around with the joystick? Oh, yeah, great. No, let's just do that. Let's watch each other fiddle around with freaking toys in their lap. That's sports. That's great.
I'd much rather have people sit around and watch us talk about sports.
Right. That's what that I get. I will sit around watch. It's a good point, man. I will sit around watch someone talking about sports. But no way will you get me to watch someone pretend to play a sport on a TV screen. No way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.